our five-week series on the formation of conscience, right? So last week I talked about how, you know, forming consciences is a really important thing, and we began with the most important message, right? That the conscience begins with the law of love written on our hearts by God. We don't place it there. It's something that is given to us, right? Holding the baby, like, you know, the baby's job is just to love, right? So that's the foremost message. If we're going to build a conscience, is we're going to think in moral and virtuous ways, we begin with the law of love written on our hearts. And this week it gives us a wonderful introduction to the second thing of how we live and love people and how we are to accompany them, right? So the second principle is that we must accompany the people of God. And the gospel is very explicit that all of us are called to be light for the world. All of us have a light that we are called to share with other people. And our first reading from Isaiah is actually pretty explicit in who that is we're supposed to do that with, right? That we're called to do that with the poor, the marginalized, the least among us, right? That we're not just simply meant to accompany anyone for anything, right? But that there's a purpose to that. That we must actually have this living encounter with the poor and the marginalized among us. But sometimes I think, you know, when we think about poverty and what it means to be poor, we can have somewhat a limited notion. And so for me, I want to invite you to the five concepts of poverty that I'm going to talk about today. Right? And the first is material poverty. It's the one that comes to mind. It's the easiest one to access. It's the one that most of us think about when we think about the word poverty. That, you know, especially we have the stuff for the free store, we have the food goods, the things that in which we, donate to the poor, those who are in need, right? We have a lot of different things. Even in the school right now, they're raising, like travel care stuff for the homeless and those on the street, right? Like when we think about poverty, that's the easiest and the one that comes most readily to mind. It's the one that we see, and it's an absolutely essential one for us to understand, right? I mean, the various ministries of our parish, you know, a significant way in which we represent justice in the world is by serving those who are materially poor. You know, I even think like we, you know, once a month go out to the Dorothy Day Center and serve a meal to them, right? That's another way in which we reach out to the poor and marginalized. But it's not the only kind of poverty, although we'll see how much that kind of poverty can reach into various different needs and various different challenges. The second kind of poverty I want to sort of suggest today, and you can almost see it in one of my favorite movies, Star Wars. Spoiler alert, that fifth week, you know, all these Star Wars little hints are really going to pay off. And if you're not a fan of Star Wars, I'm sorry. Right, so like there's this spiritual poverty, and we see it played out in the forces of light and darkness and the way, you know, that those kinds of two entities fight against each other. But I actually think that spiritual poverty is something that happens when we forget that first and primary rule of our conscience. When we forget that we have this law of love written on our hearts, and when we become jaded, angry. Now, let me be careful here, because I think anger is a legitimate emotion, right? But it's when that anger turns into a hardness of heart, when we stop listening to others, when we're more worried about being right than being understood, right? That to me has a spiritual component, because we have forgotten this essential core of who we are, that we have this law of love on our hearts. Or perhaps it's just sort of an attempt, you know, sort of a lukewarmness, right? We pray that prayer to St. Thomas More all the time to remove lukewarmness. Well, that's a spiritual kind of poverty when we've sort of like, meh, I'm just here going through the motions. I'm just showing up. You know, that's a spiritual poverty. And we're called to accompany those in spiritual poverty. Like we have our Ignatian Lenten retreats. This is really a glorified commercial, y'all. I'm just saying. Right, so but we have the reality that we try to work and walk with people who are in the spiritual poverty. The third kind, and this is made, I think it's really well explained in Dr. Twenge, T-W-E-N-G-E's book, I Generation. And she's talking about basically people who are 30 and younger. It's a phenomenal book. But it talks about this third kind of poverty, which I'm calling social and emotional poverty. And as she describes this younger generation, there's good news and there's not so good news. The good news, fortunately, is that young people are less likely to engage in at-risk behaviors today, right? Whether that's sort of doing, you know, wild stuff, you know, underage drinking and so on and so forth, what you can imagine these wild behaviors to be, young people today are actually less likely to engage in that. That is the good news. Young people are safer today than they've ever been statistically in the history of our country. Really, really good news. But unfortunately, the bad news is that they're also less connected today than they've ever been. And so this poverty of connection, this rise of depression and anxiety and all these other sort of these ill forms, possibly as a consequence of the excessive amount of screen time that we have. And I have to admit, I mean, I'm a millennial. I love my technology, but there is a shadow side to that technology of not being able to be in communication or actually in real relationship. You know, or the fact that I can feel alone in my sadness or my anxiety or my depression, right? That there can be a real sort of isolation that happens because of that barrier of the screen. And she goes further on in the book to describe that, but I think that's a legitimate poverty of our world today. And it's we're also definitely called to find a way to reach out to those who feel isolated on the margins, right? This whole idea of us getting up and meeting each other isn't accidental. It isn't just because we want you to, like, get around and say hello to folks. Like, there's an actual poverty that we're attempting to meet in our ministry here. And the third kind of poverty, and I think it's, you know, if you're materially poor, if you're spiritually poor, if you are socially poor or emotionally poor, then the educational poverty, right? That's the fourth kind of poverty I want to talk about, right? That it's hard to study if you're hungry. It's hard to learn if you're cold. It's hard to learn if you're worried about whether or not mom and dad are going to be there because they may or may not have some piece of paper that says they belong there. It's hard to study when you have to think about the world and it weighs on you. And that's an emotion, that's an educational kind of poverty. You know, even here in the city of St. Paul, because broadly, in really broad strokes, I think the U.S., when compared to other countries, we actually do quite well. But even here in St. Paul, 70% of the students who are in the public school system are below the federal poverty line. I'll say that one again. 70% of the students in the St. Paul public school system are at or below the federal poverty line. 20% of the students at St. Thomas More qualify for free and reduced lunch. Right? One out of every five of our students next door at a private school qualify for free or reduced lunch. Right? So this material poverty, this social poverty, this spiritual poverty really absolutely affects educational poverty. It becomes impossible to try to learn when you're just trying to survive. And this leads me to my fifth kind of poverty. Now, I am sure that there are more than five kinds of poverty, but I kind of to keep it focused, the fifth kind of poverty for me is a political poverty. And what I mean by that is that if you tend to be materially poor, you know, socially isolated, struggling spiritually, struggling with education, you're less likely to engage in a political process, which I find to be a travesty in a country in which we espouse the democratic process, in which everyone has a voice, in which we want everyone to participate in self-governance, and yet the poor are the least likely to engage in the political process. And so we must. This is part of forming our consciences, is not just simply to work on their behalf, but to walk with them, with their journey, on their behalf, and on our own behalf. Because the truth is, each of these five kinds of poverty, I can equally apply to myself. Now, I can only speak for myself, so I don't know about you, but, you know, there have been times in my life where I have been materially poor. Or, I mean, let's just face it, I am dependent on you. I need your light to be able to continue any of the ministry that I hope to do, that we hope to do at this parish. Right? Your light sustains us. I need your light as much as I might have anything to say with my light. Or that spiritual poverty. You know, yesterday I was running into Mass at the 4:30 and I was really late and I was sad and frustrated, and, you know, somebody just put their hand on my shoulder and just invited me to say, "Father RJ, are you okay? Do you need anything?" They were walking with me in a moment of spiritual poverty. They reached out to me just with a simple gesture, and it transformed my day. Or, you know, this sense of social and emotional poverty, right? That we tried to work together as a community, that I can't do it alone. Father Warren can't do it alone. None of us can do it alone. That we need this community. We need your light to be able to do the ministries that we do. And not just because we're going to go and always talk about God explicitly, because I think we can always talk about God, but just to be social, to be a community, to laugh with one another, to smile, to see those beautiful little moments of a little Cub Scout running back to his parents because he did an awesome job with the readings, and you did. That's community, my friends. Or, you know, the educational poverty, because there are things I don't know. For example, in the announcements, I'll talk about a lot of things. We've got a lot of announcements. But one of them, I didn't realize who we were raising money for, and I had to admit that I lacked that knowledge. You guys educate me, and I need your light. I need your presence in order to be educated, to be able to grow so that my poverty can be extinguished. Or the political process. You know, Minnesota has kind of a neat political process, whether it's, you know, going to caucuses or participating in a number of different political opportunities. I can't do that all. In fact, as a priest, I'm actually somewhat limited by which the political process I can actively engage in. So more than ever, we need you to participate, to advocate, to walk with, to invite, and to bring people into that process. This is an absolute need. You see, it's not an us-them in this poverty relationship. All of us have some sort of poverty. And so here's the challenge, the invitation. If you are really good at walking with people in one of those five kinds of poverty, awesome. Thank you for your work. But where's the invitation to grow in another walk? You know, if you're really good with helping the material poor, maybe there's something with education, or maybe there's something with the political process. Or if you're really political, maybe there's something in that spiritual sense or something in sort of that social sense, in that communal sense. Whatever it happens to be, how do we continue to grow in how we meet and accompany people who are in poverty? And in the same token, where is it that you need to grow? Where do you find yourself poor? You see, because of these great lights that sit out in the pews, I wish you could all have the perspective that I have right now. Being able to see all of you. When I look out into this community, I see a bright future and a bright community. And that is good news indeed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.